We're just going to pray, ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning, open our hearts to Him. Pray with me. Father, we just come before You in the mighty name of Jesus and pray, Father, that truly You would speak to us today. Lord, through Your Word and by Your Spirit, that each one would hear what You're saying to them. I ask You, Father, that You help me today, Lord, just to obey You, Lord, to follow the leading of Your Spirit, to say all that You'd have me to and only that. And Lord, that our lives might forever be changed in some way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we are this Wednesday, January 1st, beginning 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I know that some of you already had these, but if you didn't, you got one of these in your bulletin today. And this is just to help you, remind you, to pray every day, to fast, and also it has on there what you're praying for. I am praying for, and I don't know about you, but my list won't fit on those few lines. So whatever it takes, but list out the things that you're really believing God for, the breakthroughs, the miracles, the answers that you're praying for. And then list on there how you're fasting. Have a plan and let it be something meaningful. You know, the point, a big part of the fast is to bring our body under subjection so that our spirit is in tune with the Holy Spirit, and it builds our faith, it strengthens our faith as we do that. It disconnects us from the world and helps us really focus on the Lord. And I just encourage you to make that a part of this 21 days. That comes from Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel prayed and fasted for 21 days before the answer came to his prayer. It took 21 days because of a great spiritual battle that was taking place in the heavenlies. And we also have spiritual battles. We need to be aware. We're not just, you know, stumbling through life. But as Peter says, we got to be sober, be vigilant, because we have an adversary, the devil. And as we pray and as we fast during this time, that's what we're believing for, is great victories and breakthroughs, miracles. But sometimes it takes a while because there's a spiritual battle that's taking place. I know that this 21 days will be a challenge. It will stretch us. And it's not going to come easy, but it will cause us to grow. You see, this will get you out of your rut. I'm just telling you, it'll cause you to grow. It will increase your faith. It'll bring you closer to Him. I really believe that. There's so much lazy, weak, wavering faith in the church in America today. The church in America is too carnal. I'm just going to say it. I'm telling you, I believe I have a word from God today, and it may not be popular. It may not, you know, go down real easy, but sometimes this is exactly what we need. I'm telling you, the church in America needs revival. The church in America needs to be who God has called us to be. And I want to tell you, we can't be who God has called us to be and do the things that God has called us to do without prayer. Too many believers are still walking, living in the desires of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that we are to walk in the Spirit and we won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. And then he lists out these works of the flesh. And most believers have a lot of those things working in their life. But instead, when we are led of the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. You see, that's what the Spirit produces in our life. That's who we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be just like the world, except we got a little Jesus and we go to church once in a while. No, we're supposed to be a Spirit-filled, a Spirit-led people. Romans says that those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That's who we as God's children, His sons and daughters, who are born again. That's who we're supposed to be. People that are led of the Spirit. Not carnal people. Not people just like the world, but people whose lives have truly been changed, that we are a new creation in Christ. And I'll tell you, prayer and fasting helps us disconnect from the things of the flesh, of the world, and connect more with Him, to be closer to Him. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. I think that is one of the most wonderful promises of the Scriptures, that if we'll just draw near to God, He'll draw near to us. You see, the ball's in our court. It's up to us. If we want to be close to God, we draw near to God and He'll draw near to us. But that's not all of the verse, is it? No, it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Why is it in our generation we just like to leave that part off? Let's just talk about the first part. And I want to tell you the truth, is a lot of the time the reason we don't really experience much of the first part is because we're leaving off the last part. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. You see, there's times when we just have to get serious about drawing close to God and put away some things that have been a distraction, things that have kept us from getting close to God. And He says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. We got to decide. We got to make a real decision that we want to be close to God more than anything else. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Enough with the wishy-washy, up and down, in and out Christianity. Double-minded. Oh, we need to make up our mind that we're going to serve the Lord with a whole heart. That we mean business with God. We're not playing church. You know, nowadays it's not necessarily about going to church. There's a lot of people that they don't even do that. I'm just saying, you know, we're not playing Christian. We want to be the real deal. We want to be close to Him. We want to experience Him in our life every day. We want to see His power move and work in our lives, but in our world. And I'll tell you, that only happens by prayer. We're to be a spiritual people. Spiritual people. I've heard that there are some people that are too spiritual for any earthly good. Now, if you're talking about just being weird and religious, I know what you mean. But I have never met somebody who was too spiritual. I have met a lot of believers who were too carnal for any earthly good. God has called us to be holy people, to be His people. And I'll tell you, we need to be a praying people who are seeking God, believing God, have faith to see God move and work in our world. It's foolish for us to think we can be who God wants us to be and do the things that God wants us to do without prayer. Prayer is the heartbeat of the Christian life. Now, there's really only two reasons why people don't pray. Either we just don't care. You know, we all know about needs. We all know about terrible things going on in our world. I mean, sometimes it's real close to home. Sometimes it's right there in our family or maybe right there in our own life. We all know about things. And if we just don't care enough, well, then we won't pray. But I suspect the second reason is usually what happens. What the real reason is that people don't pray. It's that they don't believe. They don't believe that their prayer is really going to make a difference. Because if we care and we believe that God will answer our prayer, we'll pray. There's no way that we would not avail ourselves of the privilege of coming to the Almighty, the sovereign God of the universe, and asking for His help if we believed that He would answer our prayers. So I challenge you this morning to believe. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Two reasons people quit praying. They prayed, but they quit praying. Number one, people quit praying because they give up. They didn't see results, they didn't see results fast enough. And so they give up. They quit praying. The other reason to quit praying is, and this should always be our only reason to quit praying, is that we believe we've received the things that we've asked for. Even if we haven't seen it yet, we know that God has already done it. We know it's already taken care of. But that's when you quit praying, is when it's done. You pray until something happens. You push. Pray until something happens. You keep praying. You don't give up. You don't quit. Always keep praying. There are battles that are not won by throwing up a quick prayer. There are battles that are only won when we keep praying and praying and praying. You see, when we are dealing with human hearts and wills, and also devils, spiritual forces of darkness, those battles are not always won in a day. So we can't give up. We have to keep praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That means you keep praying. You don't stop. In the NIV, it says, pray continually. Romans chapter 12:12-13, it says to continually, steadfastly in prayer. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. You just don't stop. You just keep praying. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always. Colossians 4:2 says, continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. We're supposed to be praying all the time. Not this little dabble do you Christianity. You see, praying like that doesn't really appeal to the flesh. That's why our bodies have to come under subjection. Because we got to really pray. We got to pray all the time. This is what brings God's moving and working in our world. Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How we need to be praying all the time, constantly, always. Keep on praying. Jesus is our example. Did you know that Jesus is praying? He just keeps praying and keeps praying. Hebrews 7:25 says he always lives to make intercession for them. You know what Jesus is doing? He's praying. Well, Jesus is praying. Well, isn't that good enough? Listen, I don't understand it, but this is what I know, that God has chosen to work this way. The sovereign God of the universe has chosen to work this way, that he moves and works when his people pray in faith. Amen. And Jesus is our example. He keeps praying. Romans 8:34 says, Christ, who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's interceding for us right now, but he just keeps praying. You know, if he prayed like most believers do today, well, he would just go to the Father and he'd say, Father, I just ask you to save everybody, heal everybody, set everybody free. In my name, amen. And then he'd go get in his recliner and put his feet up and watch some TV. Hello. That's not the way Jesus prays. He is ever interceding. And church, we need to be a praying people. Somebody's thinking, we got to go down to that church down the road. It's more fun. I'm telling you, what's really fun is when we have breakthroughs and victories and miracles, when your loved ones get saved. That's fun. When that healing finally comes, that's fun. Like, then our mouths were filled with laughter. See, when the victory finally comes, how powerful, how wonderful. And we want it to just be instant, microwavable prayer in Christianity, but it's not that way. We have to keep praying, and keep praying, and never give up. Some people think that they're so busy, they're overwhelmed with their schedule. The truth is that when we think that, we're overwhelmed with our own self-importance. We think too much of ourselves and too little of God. Because if we understood how awesome He is, how wonderful He is. We would never miss an opportunity to pray and to ask for His help in whatever endeavor of life you think are so busy. I tell you, what you need is God's help, but you don't get that without prayer. Y'all real quiet then. That's how we get His help, is prayer. A lot of times people wonder why God doesn't do something, because somebody hadn't been praying. We've got to be praying always. Keep on praying. It's when we do that that we end up always relying on God. See, when we don't pray, we're relying on ourselves too much. So we always pray because we acknowledge we can't do anything of ourselves. We need His help all the time. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10, Jesus said, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Now, I want you to understand, a lot of times when people start reading parables and interpreting a parable, trying to understand what it means, they want to spiritualize every little piece of a parable. And we need to understand that in no way is Jesus implying that we have to wear God out. You know, we've got to somehow, by our persistence, you know, we're going to get God to do what He doesn't want to do. God forbid that we try to get God to do what He doesn't want to do. That's not what Jesus was teaching. In fact, he makes it very clear what He is teaching in the next 2 verses. Here it is, though, that we should keep praying. That we should just keep praying. We didn't get your answer right off. You just keep praying. Verses 9 and 10, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." These are the words of the Lord Jesus Himself. This is God speaking to you this morning. The word of the Lord. In our English translation, I think we really miss the full impact of verses 9 and 10. We ask one time. We knock one time. We seek for a moment. And then we wonder. The Woost Expanded Translation uses as many words as necessary to translate the original meaning. And I want to read verses 9 and 10 to you. It says, "I'm saying to you, keep on asking for something to be given, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Keep on reverently knocking, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking for something to be given keeps on receiving, and he that keeps on seeking keeps on finding. And to the one who keeps reverently knocking, it shall be open." I'm telling you, we have to keep on. We just have to keep on and keep on and keep on and never give up. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6 that we are not to be like the pagans when we pray and think that by our many words that we will be heard. And I want you to understand, He is not telling us that if we'll just pray enough words, God will have to do what we want. He's telling us that we have to be persistent in prayer and not give up. Keep praying. We don't have to wear God down, but we got to wear the devil down till the battle is won. Persistence will defeat resistance. Luke chapter 18, another parable. "He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." That we should always pray and never give up. Always pray. Keep praying. No matter what, we just keep praying and we never give up. That's the message of this parable. He tells us, don't give up. Because he knows there's lots of opportunities when we're praying. We're standing in faith. Lots of opportunities come to be discouraged and give up. Always pray and never give up. And here's the parable. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Then Jesus says, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus tells this story to make this point that we have to just keep praying. I want to say this again. Don't try to spiritualize every little piece of the parable. We don't wear God out with our prayers. God is not an unjust judge. And he has regard for us. He loves us. And he will answer speedily. He's going to avenge us. But sometimes there is a battle that's taking place. We have to understand that. And so we just keep praying and keep praying. Daniel fasted for 21 days. He prayed and fasted. Why did it take so long? Why does it take so long for your answer to come? In Daniel 10, 12 through 14, the angel appeared to Daniel and said, do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. You see, we get a little glimpse here into what happens in the supernatural. That there are supernatural battles. There's a war that's taking place in the heavenlies. And sometimes when we begin to pray, the answer is already sent. The miracle is already sent. The breakthrough is already sent. But what happens all too often is that we give up before it gets there. We stop praying, we stop believing, and we just kind of hope and wish. In the book of James 1:7, it says, let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. We can't give up. Don't give up when you pray. You just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. You know how quick a prayer is answered can be really subjective. There's a lot of answered prayers that just don't happen immediately. Some prayers are answered in 2 or 3 years. Some take 20, 25. Okay, some are immediate. Amen, we like that part, right? We don't get excited about that 20, 25 part. Abraham prayed to have a son. He was an old man and his wife was barren. And God told him that he was going to have a son, that his descendants would be like the stars in the sky. He took him outside and said, look at the stars, so that he would have a vision of what God was going to do in his life. But the years went by, and the years went by, and the years went by. 25 years later, that son finally came. But hear me now. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham believed what God said. No matter what it looked like, no matter how long it took, Abraham believed what God had said. And I'm just telling you that when you're praying and believing, you just don't give up, no matter how long it takes. And what a fantastic miracle God did in Abraham's life. We're still talking about it today. And I'm telling you, sometimes it is those prayers where you just keep praying year after year that the greatest blessings come, the greatest victories come, and you find the closeness with the Lord that others don't know. You grow into a place that others don't know. Keep believing. Keep praying. So the battle is won in prayer. In Exodus 17, it tells a story about when the children of Israel went to battle with Amalek. And Moses told Joshua, choose out some fighting men and go out and fight with Amalek. And he told him, he said, I'm going to stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And so while the battle was taking place below, Moses would lift his hands before God and the Israelites would win the battle. But when he got tired and he put his arms down, they would start to lose the battle. And so they got a rock for Moses to sit on. They held his arms up so that he could pray with uplifted hands before God, and they won the battle. You may not understand it, but I'll tell you, it's that important that we pray. Battles are won or lost, whether or not we keep praying. Too often we get weary and we just quit. We got to find a way to keep praying and keep praying until that battle is won. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I desire therefore that men everywhere pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Why do they pray with their hands lifted up? You know what? We're reaching out to God. We got open hands to receive what God has for us. I'm just telling you, it's a Bible thing. It's scriptural. Don't be afraid to lift your hands to God when you pray. The Bible says we're supposed to do that. There's times when we should do that. There's times when we should kneel, times when we should lay on our face before God. But whether you're driving your car, however you do it, pray. Keep praying. You see, there are lots of battles that it really does come down to this. If we pray, we're going to win. And if we quit, we're not. You see, it was the same battle. It was the same two armies fighting in that battle. But when Moses was praying with lifted hands, they won. Prayer makes the difference. You can have the same preacher, the same preaching, the same message. And I want to tell you what makes the difference. It's prayer. Prayer is what makes the difference in whether or not lives are changed. I tell you, we've got to have His help. It's not in cool stuff and technology. It's not in any of the things of this world. Those are all a distraction from the one thing that really matters, and that is that we need more of Him. We need the touch of God on our service, but on everything that we do, how we need Him, and that comes through prayer. That's what makes the difference. See, we can have the same worship team singing the same songs, and you know what makes the difference? It's prayer. Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 6, 18 and 19, he says, praying always, 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 don't miss that, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance. See, we don't stop, we keep on. and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Prayer, that's what makes the difference. Charles Spurgeon, one of the most famous preachers of history in Victorian England, his Metropolitan Tabernacle drew thousands of people every Sunday. The crowds were so big, people would stand outside just hoping to hear a little bit or to catch a glimpse of Charles Spurgeon as he preached. One day, a group of seminary students came to the church to see what it was like, and an older man with a gray beard, who they mistook for the janitor, I've been there, by the way, gave them a tour. He took them through the auditorium and let them stand behind the pulpit. And then he said, "Now, I want to show y'all what really heats this church." They thought he must be talking about the furnace or something. But he took them downstairs and he took them to a room. And he said, "This is where the fire in the pulpit comes from." And he opened the door so that they could see in, and there were a couple of dozen people in there kneeling and praying fervently, seeking God and calling on God. And I want to tell you, that's what makes the difference. That's where the battle is won. The battle is won in prayer. It is not just human effort. We have to obey God. We got to do what we're supposed to do. But the battle is won in prayer. That's where the battle's won. How we get mixed up and confused, and we start thinking we need this and we need that, when the one thing we absolutely can't do without is His help. How we need to pray and keep praying and never stop. It's what makes our witness effective. It's what makes the difference whether or not somebody gets healed, whether or not somebody gets set free. I'm telling you, it's prayer. Keep praying. You know, we get a bad report from the doctor about ourselves or a family member, and so we throw up a 5-minute prayer, and then we'll go wait 3 hours in the doctor's office so we can talk to a doctor for 5 minutes. Or we'll throw up a 5-minute prayer, and then we're going to get on the internet for 3 hours so we can research it. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. You see, we got it quite backwards. What we need is to pray and keep praying, keep believing, keep seeking Him, keep believing God. That's where our answer is. That's where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. And I'll just tell you, we'll win a whole lot more battles when we spend more time praying and less time trying to do things in the natural. We can't ever stop praying. We got to keep on praying. We need regular times of prayer like Daniel had. You know, he prayed 3 times a day. He made it a point to get alone with God and pray. Most of you know the story that he got arrested and thrown in the lion's den for praying. Most Christians today wouldn't have anything to worry about if they passed such a law, because nobody knows they ever pray. I'm telling you, we need to be a praying people. Amen. Seeking God, seeking His help. But every situation, everywhere we go, you're driving a car, conducting business, you're going talking to somebody, while you're talking to them, be praying, be asking the Lord for His help. You know, kind of like people do with texting. You know, some people text 5, 6, 7, 8,000 times a month, 200, 250 times a day. What if you talk to the Lord 250 times a day? Well, tell me you can't pray always, that you can't just always be praying. In fact, what if we just stopped all that foolish, silly stuff going on all day long? Oh, I offended some people because you think that's your life right there. I want to tell you something. What we need is prayer more than anything else. We talk about this and talk about that, talk about all the problems and how bad things are. None of that changes anything for the good, but what does is prayer. We just keep praying. Praying always with all kinds of prayers. Keep praying. Every negative situation, every difficulty, every obstacle, every battle, every attack from the enemy, it is an opportunity to pray. It is an opportunity to see God's power at work in our lives. And you know what? If you don't have some battle, you don't have some great struggle, something going on that you're really needing to pray about, well, what an opportunity for you to jump in on the devil and pray for some great victories in other people's lives. I mean, if you don't have something that you care about right now, well, care about somebody else, because I want to tell you there's people all around us that need somebody to pray for them. All those battles, it's an opportunity to pray. Opportunities. The youth group went on a retreat one time, and they were getting them all put in their dorms and everything. They had these lists of who was in what dorm, and they had a big banner up behind the check-in desk that said, "There are no problems, only opportunities." One young man came to the check-in desk and he said, "We've got a problem." And the leader said, "No, you forgot. There's no problems, there's only opportunities." And the young man said, "Okay, but I just thought you should know there's a girl in our dorm." Yeah. So I want to say very plainly, there's all kinds of problems. In our world, you don't have to even get outside these four walls right here. There's all kinds of problems. But every one of them is an opportunity. An opportunity to pray and an opportunity to see God work in somebody's life. That's the way it's supposed to be. We need to look for the opportunities to pray and use our faith, not run from them. Prayer is powerful. It's how we bring the power of the Almighty into our world. We talk about the immorality in our country, and how terrible things are, all the drug, all the crime, and Hollywood, and all this violence and injustice, and all this ungodliness in our society. We can talk and talk and talk, but what we need to be doing is praying and praying and praying. That's what makes the difference. Amen. People get so wrapped up in worldly things. I'm determined to rub somebody the wrong way this morning, so here I go. If I ain't got you yet, give me another chance, will you? People say, "Oh, it's so important that you vote. Oh, you're just wasting it. If you don't vote, you're just wasting your chance and your freedom and your opportunity. You're wasting that." Let me tell you what a real waste is: when people don't pray. Because it doesn't matter who you elect. Without prayer, we're not going to see revival in this nation. We're not going to see real change without prayer. That's what really makes the difference. And when we don't pray, that's a waste. That's where the real power is. I'm telling you, our God is so much more powerful than any man. Yeah, vote for a godly man. Yes, do that. Pray. Pray. That's what really changes things. Don't accept things the way they are. But pray. I believe the church is the most powerful force in the earth. Jesus said, even the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. But what makes the church so powerful is that we are praying, that we are praying people, and God moves on our behalf when we pray. One man said, "Men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers." Oh, how we need to pray. The Lord can change your school. He can change your workplace. He can change your family. He can change a church. He can change us. Amen. I want to close with a story from the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 12. You don't have to turn there, but I would encourage you to read it later. Acts chapter 12 tells us that Herod the king started to harass the church. He was going to persecute the church. And so in verse 2, it tells us that he killed James, the brother of John. Remember, it was always Peter, James, and John who were with Jesus in special times, like on the Mount of Transfiguration. This was that James. He killed James with the sword. It happened pretty suddenly. I think the church was caught off guard by it. And he saw that it pleased the Jews, and so he seized Peter also. But it was during the days of unleavened bread, and so he put him in prison. And while he was in prison, he had four squads of soldiers watching him. That's 16 soldiers who were responsible for him being held in prison. But verse 5 tells us this: constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Constant prayer. They just kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. Constant prayer was being offered to God by the church for Peter. James being put to death happened so suddenly, it caught him off guard. But now Peter's being held in prison, and they're praying and they're praying and praying. And so just before Peter is to be brought out during the night, Peter is chained to two soldiers. Can you imagine? He wasn't just held in some dungeon somewhere. He's actually chained to two soldiers. And there are soldiers outside the prison as well. But an angel appears, strikes Peter, and he says, "Wake up, get up." And he leads him out of the prison. Peter thought it was a vision at first. He didn't even realize that it was real. And then he came to himself, and the angel vanished. This is a great miracle, church. This is what happens when God's people really pray. Constantly praying. They were praying and praying and praying. And so Peter goes to a house where many of the disciples are, where they've met to pray. They're praying. And he knocks on the gate, and a young lady comes, and she hears his voice, and she's so excited, she runs back in and tells everybody, "Peter's at the gate." They thought she had lost her mind. They said, "You're beside yourself. You don't know what you're talking about." But he kept knocking, and they finally opened the gate. It was Peter. They couldn't hardly believe it, even though they were praying. But they kept praying, you see, until something happened. Now, the end of the story. Herod, when he found out that Peter was gone, he questioned the soldiers. And then he had them put to death. I'll just tell you this, that no matter what it looks like, it doesn't matter how many soldiers there were, you see, and it doesn't matter how many are against you, it doesn't matter what forces of darkness have arrayed themselves against you to destroy you, to bind you up, to steal your loved one. I want to tell you, our God is bigger, and He can turn your battle. But it takes us praying, that we just keep on praying. We're not going to back down. We're just going to keep on praying. No matter how it looks, our God is faithful, and He will bring us victory. Amen. I believe that. Keep praying. Stand to your feet with me, and I'd like for us, as we go to the Lord in prayer, I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You care. Lord, that You hear, Lord, when we pray, and that You answer our prayers. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that those that are struggling, those that maybe have lost their passion, will come home. I pray, Father, that those that have been finding themselves praying less and less, oh, Father, that today this will be a turning point in their life, that they're going to make prayer a priority every day. And Father, I just pray that You bring us together as a praying people, Lord, that we will see the walls fall, we will see the victories come, the healings come. In Jesus' name, I thank You for it, Father. I thank You for it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to dismiss you with a blessing in just a moment. But I encourage you to come for prayer. Listen, come for prayer this morning. There's some things that happen when we pray that don't happen when we don't pray. Jesus said, if any two of you agree together as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. And so often, people hear the word of the Lord, and a week later, they've forgotten all about it. No real life change. The enemy comes and he snatches it away. I want to tell you this morning, if God is dealing with your heart, you come for prayer. And you let somebody pray with you and believe that what God is doing in you is going to be a forever thing. You let somebody pray with you that this is going to be your greatest year because you're going to do this one with God all the way, all out. Don't leave out of here the same. You let God have His way in your heart. If you need prayer for any reason, you're welcome to come as we dismiss. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.